Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijan Bala Bhagini Badadhari. Jaya Gopijan Bala Bhagini Badadhari. Jasodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamunati Ramanachari. Jamunati Ravanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Thank you. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astutara Satoshi Shriman, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopina, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. 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 All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri the Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha De Sitarane. Hare Krishna. Continuing our reading of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right now we're on the chapter 24, which is entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. We're at the almost at the end. There's just a couple more verses. Two more verses, I think. Yeah. Two more verses at the end of the chapter of Kardama's renunciation. We're on text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Together, if you know it. Narayanam Namaskritcham Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer their respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Naranarayan, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and we also offer our respects and obeisances and appreciation to Srila Prabhupada, who translated it and commentated on it so that we could have an idea of what it's really talking about through his divine, pure, transcendental purports. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Text 45. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Vasudeve Bhagavati, Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani, Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani, Parena Bhakti Bhavena, Parena Bhakti Bhavena, Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani. Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Please chant. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Vina Bhakti Yoga. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani. Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Sanmatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani. Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani. Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Sarvagye Pratyag Atmani. Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana. Vasudeve. To Vasudev, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Sarvagye, omniscient, Pratyak Atmani, the supersoul within everyone, Parena, transcendental, Bhakti Bhavena, by devotional service, Labdha Atma, being situated in himself, Mukta Bandhana, liberated from material bondage. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, the omniscient supersoul within everyone. I'm going to go back a couple of verses because these last three verses that we're reading from 43 through up to this one, they're all related. So just to get the flow of things, he is Kardama Muni. This is who he's referring to. So Kardama Muni, this is text 43. I'm just going to read that and then go to the purport. Okay, so Kardama Muni fixed his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, who is beyond cause and effect, who manifests the three modes of material nature, who is beyond the three modes, and who is perceived only through unfailing devotional service. Okay, good. So here's your test now. So what were some of the qualities mentioned about Lord Vasudev in this verse? Omniscient. Now we're going to this side of the room just to test them. How about on that side of the room? Another quality. He's the beyond the cause and effect of everything. Anything else? Back to this side. Some of the qualities of Lord Vasudev that were mentioned. Super soul. And everyone. And everything. And then one more thing. Yeah, he's beyond. Who manifests the three modes of material nature. He manifests them, so he's not affected by them. Okay. Oh, and then the last one is most important, sorry. And who is perceived only through unfailing devotional service. So there's a high standard there. Okay, so text 44. Thus he, again Kardama Muni, thus he gradually became unaffected by false ego. Is that easy? Thus he gradually became unaffected by the false ego of material identity and became free from material affection. Undisturbed, equal to everyone, and without duality, he could indeed see himself also. His mind was turned inward and was perfectly calm, like an ocean unagitated by waves. Which, if you think about it, when you go to the ocean, it's not very often that you see the ocean unagitated by waves. There's constantly waves coming in the ocean. Some are larger than others. And sometimes with the wind, when the wind whips it up, the waves are huge. What to speak of if there's a earthquake underneath and then there's a tsunami. But the point being that the ocean, and that's what Prabhupada's going to talk about here. I should just read the purport. The ocean remains steady through all the different circumstances. Okay, here's today's verse one more time. He thus became liberated from conditional life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of God, Vasudev, the omniscient supersoul within everyone. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And therefore, I remain eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So here's the purport. We'll go through it slowly. Okay. When one engages in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, one becomes aware that his constitutional position as an individual soul is to be eternally the servitor of the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Self-realization does not mean that because the Supreme Soul and the individual soul are both souls, that they are equal in every respect. So that second sentence is a point that Srila Prabhupada stresses over and over and over again. But the first sentence was reminding us that by engaging in devotional service, we gradually transfer our consciousness from I, me, and mine, and I'm the most important, that I'm connected with Krishna as a servant, and I'm his eternal servant. And when that starts to take place, sometimes what happens is one feels like they're not making progress because more apparent our contamination of the heart and our misidentification with the body and our identification with the false ego becomes more prominent. And we feel like, oh, I'm going down on the ladder. But actually, it's a sign of advancement to realize how low we are. And the opposite effect is there in material nature and material identification with that false ego being prominent in our consciousness. When the false ego is prominent, I'm the most important. Why didn't I get that respect? Why does that person, you know, whatever, all the little intricacies of I, me, and mine, and don't forget that I'm better than all of you. I hope you have that down, right? Okay, good. So then we can continue on. You know, but real advancement, which goes to show you where I'm at, real advancement means to see that I'm lower than everybody, that Krishna is the supreme, and somehow or other I have a relationship with him. It's a transcendental relationship, and until I act in that relationship as myself as the eternal servitor and he as the supreme master in the different degrees and how the varieties of that shows, then there's never any satisfaction or even any real progress in life. Okay, so zooming on to the third sentence. The individual soul is prone to be conditioned, and the supreme soul is never conditioned. So what's the explanation of that? Why is the individual soul prone to be conditioned? Yes, thanks. Small as in teeny tiny. As in even if you had a laser knife, you couldn't even figure out, you couldn't even cut the tip of the Bhagavatam explains that the hair, the soul is the size of a tip of a hair, right? No, that's big. The tip of the hair is big. And the soul is the size of, you cut that in half, you cut it in half, and you cut it into 10 million parts. It's one 10,000th the size of a tip of a hair, which is quite incredibly small. And yet the ego portrays us as quite incredibly large. Okay. So this is the misconception. The process of self-realization through meditating on the Paramatma is a bona fide process, but unless one has proper guidance in that process, then when the yogi through his process of meditation and austerities that he performs for hundreds of maybe lifetimes or years at least. Sees the Paramatma within his heart, then often, as is explained, will be explained, that's the last snare of Maya, that he thinks that that's who I am. I'm that super soul. I'm as good as God. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, he's, from day one, he straightens us out not to fall to that trap. We're tiny, small, insignificant, but significant in the Lord's eyes, insignificantly significant, servitors of the Lord, we have the same qualities. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Satchit Ananda. The Lord is made of Satchit Ananda. We are made of Satchit Ananda. So one would think, oh, we're the same. Mm-mm. No, we're a teeny weeny 1/10,000th tip of the hair size made of Satchit Ananda. And the Lord is unlimited in all of his qualities, unlimitedly Satchit Ananda and omniscient. Okay. When the conditioned soul realizes that he is subordinate to the supreme soul, his position is called labdhatma, self-realization, or mukta bandhana, freedom from material contamination. Because that's the problem. It's the material contamination. It's the material identification that we identify with this body and this mind and this consciousness. And we're trying to do everything for our own pleasure. That material contamination, Prabhupada says, material contamination continues as long as one thinks that he is as good as the Supreme Lord or equal with him. Sheesh. This condition is the last snare of Maya because it's progress in the sense, it's progress. The yogi has to make progress in order to even see that he's a spirit soul, that there is a Supreme Lord, but it's not complete progress. It's the last snare of Maya because he's made so much progress, but he's got still a very big misconception. So it's the, Prabhupada calls it the last snare of Maya. Maya always influences the conditioned soul. Even after such meditation and speculation, If one continues to think himself one with the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he is still in the last snares of the spell of Maya. So, interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada, through the process of bhakti yoga, through the instructions of bhakti yoga, also explains that we are one with the Lord. We are one with the Lord. Again, we are composed of the same elements of the Lord, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And the Lord is composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So we are one with the Lord. But the difference is huge. The difference is the conception of who we are as a in proper understanding as a servant of the Lord, and in false understanding that I am the most important, the supreme, the this or the that. And all my endeavors for personal satisfaction based on what I want and et cetera, always bring misery sooner or later. At some point, there's some pleasure from our acquiring money or prestige or this or that or a relationship, but very shortly the nature of the material world is the other side of the coin comes down, the other step comes down, and the misery because of our misidentification. Srila Prabhupada in other places explains that if one is making a simple calculation, just like sometimes when they decorate the temple, okay, sometimes they put cloths through the ceiling. If they're calculated the ceiling to be 75 feet long, this is all a theoretical example. They've calculated the ceiling to be 75 feet from side to side that they need to stretch their cloth, and they have 75 feet of cloth, etc. But actually, there was a little mistake. If I was taking the measurement, it'd probably be totally wrong. It would probably be 95 feet long, and I just miscalculated by a few 100 inches, anyway. And so, but if that tiny mistake is there, then all the calculations further on made are all off center too. So our miscalculation that comes with birth in the material world is that we think, this is who I am. I'm this body. That's how I can relate to. That's the miscalculation. And I can be happy by gratifying this body. And even though I've tried in so many innumerable ways, there's still a sense of a hole in the heart, a sense of loss, a sense of incompleteness, because we're not connected properly with the Supreme. So Prabhupada continues, the word parena is very significant. Para means transcendental, untinged by material contamination. Full consciousness that one is an eternal servant of the Lord is called para bhakti. If one has any identification with material things. I'm going to read that part again. If one has any identification with material things and executes devotional service for attainment of some material gain, this is vidha bhakti, contaminated bhakti. One can actually become liberated by execution of para bhakti, of pure devotional service, understanding that I am Krishna's eternal servant. And understanding that I am Krishna's eternal servant, we hear it quite often and we can repeat it quite often. And you'll see that as in your constant execution of devotional service, your understanding of that grows. So it's not that our understanding that we have now, even after so many years of executing devotional service, I'm a servant of Krishna, is the complete understanding. It's always growing as long along with our faith and our ability to execute devotional service. It's growing by the process of bhakti in itself. So when one comes to Krishna consciousness and starts to hear and starts to imbibe some of the basic teachings that, yes, I'm a servant of Krishna. We think, yes, I'm a servant of Krishna, therefore I will sweep the temple room. Yes, I'm a servant of Krishna, therefore I will wash the Lord's plates or help in the kitchen, etc., etc. But don't ask me to do anything else because, you know, I'm busy. There's a little disconnect there, you know, and whatever. But gradually our understanding will grow by the constant chanting of the holy name, and by constant endeavor. Okay, last paragraph. Another word mentioned here is sarvagye. The super soul sitting within the heart is all cognizant. He knows. That's a sentence. He knows. He knows. I may forget my past activities due to the change of body. But because the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is sitting within me, he knows. He knows everything. Therefore, the result of my past karma or past activities is awarded to me. That's a really important point. I'm going to read the next couple of sentences, as I probably should, because the connection of that is, or even a glimmer of understanding of that concept makes life much more tolerable. Okay, so Prabhupada said, I'm going back one sentence. I may forget, but he awards me suffering or enjoyment for the misdeeds or good deeds of my past life. One should not think that he is freed from reaction because he's forgotten the actions of his past life. Big point there. Reactions will take place. And what kind of reactions there will be is judged by the supersoul, the witness. So again, understanding that concept, you know, sometimes there's a tendency to think, I've joined the Hare Krishna movement, life is blissful, this and that. I've even got to the point of initiated, the spiritual master has accepted my past karma, et cetera, et cetera. I'm purified, I'm being purified. I have been purified. I have a little bit more purification left to go. But why did this bad thing happen? Why did I get treated unfairly? Why did I get mistreated? You know, different things, the different situations that we might find ourselves in our day-to-day situations sometimes are so bewildering. If we're forgetting this point, nothing happens by chance, especially for a devotee. Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa, in his explanation, in the very first chapter, Nectar of Devotion, my very favorite chapter, the very first one, Nectar of Devotion, when Srila Rupa Goswami is describing the six characteristics of pure devotional service, he describes in the first one how the living entity ends up where he is by misidentifying with his body, by being affected by avidya, by ignorance. By being affected by avidya, we have desires for our own enjoyment. That's ignorance, because we're connected to the Supreme Lord and our happiness comes from that connection. The oft-repeated example is of the hand and the fingers. I gave it my last class. But anyway, it's there. It's a Vedic example. The fingers connected to the hand, they're happy. They function. When the fingers are not connected, then they don't function. They don't function properly. They think, I'm going to be happy just by myself on the floor there. No way, they're not going to be happy until they're connected and acting properly. Similarly, the living entity, until that connection, I'm a servant of God, is made, and I'll be happy by serving God, that's not a bad deal. That I'm the servant of God, oh no, I'm little and he's great. That's not a bad deal. That's the way it is. That's the reality of life. And our good fortune is to be a servant of the Lord and to act in that capacity, and then the happiness comes automatically. Now, again, clarifying that point, happiness comes automatically doesn't mean that there's not difficulties and challenges and blows to our false ego that happen in the association with devotees or in devotional service. It happens, but what's the difference? Again, describing the state of Kardama Muni's mental being as he's going off to the forest, he's unaffected by the material pains and pleasures of this world. They're happening, but they're not affecting you in the same way. They're not affecting us in the same way. There might be some in other words, the devotee's not free from physical suffering, from mental suffering, from misunderstandings or from false accusations or any of those quote-unquote what we might think is a perfect life. not free from that. There are those things that are there, but he's realizing, but he's, even when they're happening, there's that consciousness. Krishna is so kind, as Lord Brahma says, again, another often quoted verse, 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 8. Lord Brahma says that when the good things happen to me, I realize I don't deserve this. Krishna's just being kind. He's giving it to me. He's very kindly giving it to me. And he's also thinking, when the bad things happen, he's also thinking, I don't deserve this either. But it's a different type of I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this because I know I've been in this material world innumerable lifetimes, an uncalculable amount of lifetimes, performing actions and reactions and accumulating karma for good and bad things. I've accumulated so much karma, karmic activity, that Krishna is just so kind. He's giving me just a little speck of what I deserve from all the things that I've done. But he's so kind, he's giving me that little speck. So when the good things happen, he thinks, I don't deserve this. Let me glorify Krishna because he's so kind to me. When the bad things happen, he's thinking, I don't deserve this either. I deserve worse because why? He's situated in his constitutional self. I've been here. He has that knowledge that he's heard through the scriptures. I've been here so long, I deserve worse, etc., etc. And it definitely takes the edge off the suffering that we're going through. It definitely puts it in a different perspective. It definitely makes the challenges more tolerable, and it definitely brings the thoughtful, aspiring jiva to a place of glorifying the Lord, praying for his continued protection, glorifying him and Srila Prabhupada and our parampara for their kindly giving and delivering this knowledge, and at the same time going on with their service, praying for more mercy. Queen Kunti is the sets the high standard, the high bar of praying for more calamities. And not that she just had somebody, you know, take her seat in the assembly. Not that somebody just, you know, forgot to mention her name as a donor. Not that somebody just, you know, didn't look at them or looked at them cross-eyed or, you know, whatever, whatever. Calamities after calamities. Her sons were poisoned. The house was burnt. The house of Lack was burnt. They tried to kill him so many times. Her husband, you know, so many major things happened in her life. And what is she saying? Because I took the opportunity to remember you during those trials and tribulations, I really appreciate the fact that you sent me those trials and tribulations because it gave me the opportunity to remember you more. And I'm sure most of you have had that experience of how when there's intense testing, the mind goes to the lotus feet of the Lord. And after a while you think, well, that's really beneficial. Not that you can often say the rest of the Kunti's prayer and say, please send some more, but anyway, but you can see, you can experience that that was really beneficial because those times of intense testing was when I more intensely took shelter of the Lord. So therefore, it was for my benefit. And therefore, Queen Kunti says, let them come again and again. I didn't want Krishna to hear that. Okay, let them come again and again. So anyway, these were some of the symptoms mentioned that Kardama Muni had reached in the point of his process of going back to Godhead. So today's verse. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead, the omniscient supersoul within everyone. Comments, questions, discussions, and corrections are all welcome.
Just one note, that mic is not working very well, so you'll have to speak very loud.
Thanks. Speak very loud. As a person who listens from home a lot, it's really agitating when people don't speak into the mic. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Guru Prasad's going to give one of her another wonderful comments. Happy birthday. Please go. Happy no more birthday. That's what we really want to say. Louder. You have to chew on it. Ragatmik is making faces because it's not loud enough. And she's right behind you. So just, but it's not, I know, but you have to make an endeavor to speak louder.
Okay. Can you, is that loud enough?
It's better.
Okay. We know that we are suffering or reaping bad sinful activities or bad good activities. But we don't remember why.
Yes.
But it seems like if we could remember why we're suffering, we'll say, okay, Krishna, I deserve this. Because we can't remember what's the point of you know, thinking.
So I'm going to put that into the Lord right now. Shama Sundar, Guru Prasad's complaining about the way that karma works. She wants to suffer the result immediately so that she'll learn right away not to do it again. Could you please help us with that? Please kindly consider our request. Thank you for mentioning that, because that's one of the points that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in that first chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, that the time factor, the space between the action and the reaction, that is the catch, you could say, how people don't make the connection. I did this, therefore I suffered that. But the real test of our making the connection is that we hear, that we're hearing from a transcendental source, transcendental instructions, that yes, there's a reaction for everything that we're doing, and therefore what's coming to me is what I deserve. That's a big realization. You know, that's to accept that it's not unfair, that it's not this, it's not his fault because he's like that, it's not her fault because she did that. No, this is due to my activities. Somebody speaking harshly to me, unfairly to me, you know, whatever to me, is because I have that tendency also. And I've done it to others, maybe even to that same person in a different form. So it's like sometimes it's answered also, this is the test of love. If Krishna gave us immediate reaction for everything we do, then what would be our motivation for not doing sinful activities? Our motivation would be, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer, so therefore I'm not going to kill that guy, although I'm thinking I really do want to kill him. But I don't want to suffer, so I'm not going to do it. But actually, our real motivation should be, I want to please the Supreme Lord and make him happy with my actions. Therefore, if that is the basis of our actions, then we're not committing sinful activities, and that basis is love. So forced, when so-called, quote-unquote, love is forced, and when it's violently forced upon someone, do this or else I'm going to do that, then that's not really love. That's not really an exhibition of love. But real love is, I'm doing this because I want to please my Supreme Lord, I please my spiritual master, please the devotees. So that's the real motivation. It's love. It's not punishment. It's not that I want to give them punishment, so I'm going to make them forget that they did something bad, and then later I'm going to drop the piano on their head when they're walking under the building, you know. But it's you know, a voluntarily giving our attempts, our love, our service to the Supreme Lord. That's how we're really going to remember and really become qualified to make progress in spiritual life.
Near a fire. When I was a good devotee, I was going out preaching Fifth Avenue. And this one, Indian gentleman, he used to wait for me to come out, and he'll say, "You are God."
You are?
God.
Oh.
He said. And I said, "No, I'm a servant of God, I'm a servant of Lord Sri Krishna. And he will come every day, and I will tell him different things from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, you know, I'm this and this, and taste of what and everything. And he will come back and he will say something." And I wasn't very educated with these chakras. So every day, this went on for I don't know how many weeks, and he'll say, you are God, you can do anything. You can do anything. And then I said, well, can you make the sun rise? He said, every morning I'm making the sun rise. And I was thinking, wow, I really wish I was educated enough to defend it. So I kept repeating the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is this, is this, and I said, I'm very happy with my position being a servant. I think so. Finally, one day, he was coming every day, every day. And one day, he came to me and he said, you know, you are right. I said, what? He said, we are not God. We are God's children. And I said, oh, great. You know, I didn't tell him that. And I said, you want to take one of these books? And he said, I'll take every book you have.
See?
So I don't know what caused that, but I know people really believe that. I had personal experience that they really believe they're God. And they really believe he made the sun rise every day. So whatever it is, I'm sure it's not my association, but Prabhupada said, what your 2 minute, you know, thing. But he took the book, and next time I saw him, he said, I'm coming to your temple.
Yeah, Jai. And, you know, that's the point. Even at that particular point, you might not have had the personal realization, but because you repeated those words, and Krishna, being the personality of Godhead that he is, he empowered those words, because those were Prabhupada's words of purity. He empowers those words to purify the heart and the mind. So you were the instrument. Thanks for that, among many other millions of other people that you've been the instrumental for. Hare Krishna. Yeah, yeah. I have another story about making the sunrise, if you want to hear it. Janava Higgins, who lives here, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Janava, the artist. Joy, her name was Joy something or other. Do you remember her last? Anyway, whatever. When she was coming to the temple in Seattle, Prabhupada was in Seattle, and a few days before Prabhupada arriving in Seattle, she was on a mountaintop somewhere, to make the sunrise, because she knew that she was God also, and she was meditating to make the sunrise. But unfortunately, that morning it was very cloudy, and the sun, of course it rose, but it didn't rise in its brilliance, so she considered the sun didn't rise, and she realized how puny she was. And she came down, and she heard, if I have this part of the story right, I don't know the details, but she heard the Harinam, the chanting that the devotees do in Sankirtan on the street, and she became attracted. She went to the temple, Prabhupada's giving a lecture, and he says, what does he say in his lecture? He says, you are not God. You cannot make the sun rise. And she surrendered to Prabhupada right then and there. Hare Krishna. Okay, other comments or questions or corrections? I thought you had the microphone, sorry. Okay, everybody's quiet. Not always a good sign, but anyway. Okay, thank you very kindly for your attention, in spite of the fact that I was here. But to Bhagavatam, Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hare Krishna.